cricket. Lovely cricket. Cricket lick the ball before. Welcome along to 98 Not Out, Phoenix FM's weekly cricket magazine show. As always, loads to talk about. Hopefully you've just got in from work and you're drying out and just having a listen to this. If not, in your car, nice and safe and dry. Many ways to listen to Phoenix 98 on the FM dial in the central Essex area. Via the internet, phoenixfm.com. Via mixcloud.com. Or shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. On tonight's show, we will be dominated by goings on at the Essex County Cricket Club last night, where they had a members forum. Joining me in the studio is my good old mate Dan Hagger, and we shall be talking about quite a lot of things that came out of that meeting. If we've got time, we'll talk about England, we'll have a run around the counties and all the usual stuff. Music tonight includes Mr. Mark Butcher. Yes, that Mark Butcher. If you were listening last week, you'll have heard that he's given us advanced exclusive playing rights of some of his new stuff from his album, which is out due shortly. So I'll be playing some more of that later on. And we'll be doing all the usual features of chat features. Anything that comes cricket related. Right, let's get going. It's cricket birthdays of the week. And happy birthday to Don Topley, who was 60 last Sunday. Yes, 60. He doesn't look it. He looks 70. Stuart McGill, 53. Matt Pryor, 42. Wazim Khan, 53. Graham Pollock, 80. Really? Murray Erasmus, 60. James Treadwell, 42. Azeem Rafiq, 33. David Willey, 34. Recent guest, Tim Bresnan, 39. Azhar Mahmood, 49. Saqib Mahmood, 27. Ian Smith, the legendary Ian Smith, 67. Matt Quinn, 31. Sean Abbott, 32. Shahid Afridi, 44, again. Farouk Engineer, 86. Liam Dawson, 34. Adur Rayman, 44. Andrew Strauss, 47. Chris Wokes, 35. And Robin Dass, 22. And you can add to that list a couple of listeners this week. Matt Stamper is 57, and Greg Grindle is 55. Remember, if you want to add your name or someone that you know to that birthday list, email the show radio@phoenixfm.com, title email 98 not out, and just tell me whose birthday it is, how old they're going to be, and anything else you want us to read out on air. Make sure you do it.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, we had before, Mr. Don Topley was part of that list. And he has requested, well, he always requests this one, but I thought we'd play it for him.
Tell her try your best just to make it quick. Pull my tin to the sink. There must be something she can do. This heart is broken in two. Tell her it's a case of emergency. There's a patient by the name of Gregory. Setters. don't wanna see no doc. I need attendance from my nurse around the clock. Cause there's no prescription for me. She's the one, the only remedy. Night nurse, only you alone can quench this thirst. My night nurse, oh, the pain is getting worse. I'm hurt by love. See no doubt. I need attendance from my nurse around the clock. But there's no prescription for me. She's the one, the only remedy. Thirst. My night nurse, all the pain is getting worse. I'm hurt by love. Doctor can cure.
Gregory Isaacs and Night Nurse, played that especially for Don Topley, who was 60, yes, 60, last Sunday. And don't forget, I think we read it out last week, Rhys Topley, his famous son, was 30 last week. So a lot of partying going on in the Topley household.
Hello to Darren and the listeners of 98 Not Out. Just to let you know that the March issue of the Cricketer magazine is out now, and the centrepiece is a superb deep dive by Sam Morshead into county finances. We also have Monty Panesar writing about his favourite cricketer Sachin Tendulkar, and making up the lineup is David Gower, Mike Brearley, Nasser Hussain, George De Bell, Kieran Pollard and Tanya Aldred. That's the March issue of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
That really is worth getting a copy of, particularly for that article from Sam Morshead on the state of county cricket. It's a proper deep dive. Now, talking of county cricket, my guest in the studio this evening is the one, the only Kit Man Dan, Mr. Dan Hagger. Dan, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Yourself, considering the atrocious weather outside.
There are a few puddles about, aren't there?
Yeah, more than a few, yeah.
Yeah, you've been halfway across the country and back today, haven't you?
Yeah, for work, yeah. I had to sort of do a van run this morning and come back. And then, yeah, back. To, I feel like I live on that A12 sometimes.
And it's one of the worst roads to get spend too much time on as well.
Yes.
But you're here. And John Chubb, if you're listening, we need milk. Me and Dan have made ourselves some coffees, but we're having black coffee. So if it does sound a bit like we're on
rations,
on fire tonight, it's because we're drinking black coffee. Anyway, one of the reasons Dan is here, and it's always a pleasure to have him in the studio, is that there was a meeting last night, the Essex Cricket Members Forum. It was online, quite well attended from what I saw, and hosted by the chairman, Anu Mahindru, Treasurer Neil Faraday, co-CEO Dan Feist, and the CEO John Stevenson. I'm quite impressed by this panel. I think when we went to the AGM at the end of last year, it does feel like we've got people that are in charge, know what they're doing, and have got a bit of direction. And yeah, they were very impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, I think what was very noticeable from the AGM, that Anhu set his stall out straight away, especially with the previous sort of goings on.
Yeah.
He set his stall out straight away.
He kicked all that into the long grass, didn't he, properly?
Yes, he did. And like I say, yeah, he set his stall out straight away, and the thing is to move forward.
That's right. Now, yesterday in the morning, so we'll, there's a lot to sort of digest here, but let's just see with all what's gone on that, hang on, feverishly looking through my notes. Okay, so they set out a statement yesterday. So, in case you didn't know, Essex have been at the centre of allegations of racism, which have been go back quite a long way. There's been one report, the Newton report, which was published a few months ago, and the findings were acted upon by the club. And the club has still waiting for the ECB's report and any possible sanctions. But yesterday, the club did put out a statement, which reads as follows. As part of our regular communications with members regarding the independent investigation into historic allegations of racism, Essex County Cricket Club can confirm that sanctions have been imposed against the individuals implicated in Catherine Newton Casey's report. Following the publication of Miss Newton's report on the 8th of December 2023, the club commissioned an independent committee that recommended disciplinary measures. While the individuals are not named to align with the anonymised Essex report, Essex takes allegations of racism extremely seriously, and the measures are a further commitment to creating an inclusive and welcoming club for everyone. Essex have shared the measures with the ECB and reaffirms the club's pledge to promote equality, diversity and inclusion within cricket to prevent such incidents from occurring in the future. So they're not shying away from this, but there's been some criticism today, hasn't there? Notably George Debell writing in The Cricketer.
Yes, apparently that they should have been named.
That's right.
To be honest, the club have dealt with it, and I don't think they're going to, the naming it, well, but the main thing is they've dealt with it.
Exactly. And I think if you start putting names out there, it creates, and in this day and age of internet and social media, it just creates another can of worms. And I think
we're going to move on.
Exactly right.
You know.
Exactly. And I think that's the message that was sent at the AGM. And again, Anu was quite clear last. Yeah. And I like the way that he's not messing about with anything and not being sidetracked by nonsense. What was talked about last night was sort of a clear vision for the future. As I said, that process has ended for the club. They're waiting for the ECB. And they started off by basically talking about the fast-moving landscape in the world of cricket. But for Essex, that does create opportunities. Now, they've got an aim, and it's really good to have a roadmap of where you want to be. They want to be the number one county by the year 2030. 2030 is important. We'll go on about that in a bit. But just to summarise, ground development is essential. Anyone that's been to Essex recently will know that it's not in the best state.
Yes.
If you've not been to Essex in the last 30 years, you haven't missed anything, because it's exactly the same.
Pretty much, I think, yes.
And it does need to, and with the noises coming from the ECB, that to survive, you need to be state of the art. And we've been saying this, you and I have been talking about this for ages and ages. You know, the paying public needs to have, or they expect better. So, in terms of the timelines, Dan Feist has started off. He said that there are a few things that are worth noting. So, 2025 will be the centenary, the 100 years of Essex cricket, which is a big year. 2026 will be the Women's World Cup. Now, we know that Chelmsford has got a deep relationship with women's cricket, and particularly England's women's cricket. They want to basically be part of the 2026 World Cup. He went on to say that £1.35 million has been spent over the last 4 years any detail, that money is going into the Leighton Hub, Investigating Club and Community Cricket. They're probing in all the right areas, yes. I think.
To be honest, I'd say they are, and it'd be the number one cricket region.
That's well, right, yeah.
We have a very big catchment area. If you bring in Cambridgeshire, Norfolk, Suffolk, plus the East London area, we have a very big catchment area, and they really want to make full use of it.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's there was the old adage. I can remember listening to some crusty old members when I'm sitting in front of the pavilion 20 years ago, and they used to complain, but it was actually not a bad observation, that Essex was almost like Chelmsford and District Cricket Club. That was a term that got bandied about.
Yeah, this is the thing. We've got, with Middlesex and Surrey around London, we're sort of fighting for space for them, you know, to try and attract, try and pull them over to us. But there's been a lot of players that come from Norfolk, Suffolk, Cambridgeshire up way, and also are in the current squad as well.
Yeah.
So they've got a big region there to cover, and they want to make sure that, and that is the aim by 2030 to be the number one region.
Yeah, and I think, just my view, that there's noises coming from the 100 about a third London-based franchise. And there's people that say, oh, no, why London? They've already got two. But I think the Grumbler was saying the other week, now, he doesn't like talking, he won't even name it. He calls it the tournament that shall not be named, doesn't he? But he's saying, and he's well-steeped in sports and the commercial aspect of sports, that he said, why would you stick it in the middle of nowhere where only a few people are going to turn up? You want to, you know, it has to be a city-based thing. And if you're going to look at it from a commercial point of view, the most people are in London. And from various other bits and pieces that I've read through social media and in the cricketing press over the week, there's kind of talk about putting it in the London Stadium, former Olympic Stadium.
Well, we were at one stage looking to move T20s to Stratford with a drop-in pitch.
That very, very nearly happened, didn't it?
That nearly did happen, but obviously to have it's a lot of cost to have a drop-in pitch put in there, and time as well. Now that West Ham are based there,
yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. It's a very crowded. I mean, if you were thinking about a cricket season, it would overlap with the start of the. I mean, the football season starts earlier and earlier these days, doesn't it?
It does.
So beginning of August almost, and then you've got athletics that are based there.
Yep.
How you do it, I don't know, but that's just one of the things that's been bandied around. But then Dan gave us an artist impression of what the. So we were talking about ground development, mm-hmm. and there are two options on the table.
Yeah.
One is to find and develop somewhere new, which they didn't really expand on. They are looking.
They are keeping that card close to their chest, all we know of. It's one in Essex and two not in Chelmsford.
That's right.
But I think it's going to be, they've kept that card close to their chest, and that'll be somewhere where that is going to be a. But you hope, if it is, it will have links, transport.
That's what you
for
need.
For people to get there, you know.
Parking. More of that in a minute.
Yes. It would help me, I know that. But yeah, you just hope that what they do, if they do have to go outside, that they, you know, that'll be an area where we can have all we need. You know, we're not, because the problem with Chelmsford, as everyone knows, we are hemmed right in. We are short of space, and if we ever did go out to a new ground, we'd have to make sure we got everything we need.
Yeah.
To have that ground, you know.
But it's a long wish list, isn't it?
It is.
Of space links. But
ideally, I think everyone liked to have it still at Chelmsford, and the push to have that redeveloped.
So this plan was unveiled last night. Very, very impressive, I thought. Where the pavilion and the Premier Suite are, that would all get replaced by a brand new stand, which we were talking earlier. It looks a bit like Trent Bridge, doesn't it?
Yes. If you stand at the pavilion end at Trent Bridge and look to your left-hand side, that sort of architecture of it does sort of give you that impression of that architecture, that stand on the left-hand side at Trent Bridge. But underneath, there would be possible like a Premier Suite sort of thing underneath.
Yeah.
which would hopefully be and let us be able to host our own end of season players awards dinners, big sort of things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was one of the sort of the overall things was making it a multi-purpose venue,
yeah.
And having income all the year round as opposed to just during the cricket season. Those stand designs were really good.
Yeah.
And also part of it with a. It was quite clever, I thought. Someone I saw today said, oh, it's just a rehash of the David East plan from 20 years ago. It really is not.
No.
It really is not. It's much more thought out. And even things like they want to put a media centre down at the river end, or is it the Gooch end, the Graham Gooch end?
The Alistair Cook end.
That's the Alistair Cook end, yeah. And that looked really good, yeah. And that would encourage Sky to come down.
Well, we do, yeah, the media centre is quite cramped, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's getting on a bit.
Especially when Don Topley's in there.
Yes. But no. I think the thing is, in the winter, Essex moved the medical centre from the river at the back of the media centre, the river end, and put it down at the end next to the Premier Suite, because that'll be easier access if something does happen for the ambulances to get, instead of trying to scrab round the access road. And then on the spinner, where the spinner's bar is, there's also looks like it's where the club offices will be.
That's
moved
right.
to. And to be honest, the plans look very, and I was glad they kept the cricket school as well.
Yep.
And they're going to build two sort of
either side of the school.
Either side, yeah, hotel sort of student union. And also, to have a bridge come in where the outside practice nets are, and to have a plaza area.
That's really important.
That looks
So they're
nice.
Going to build this bridge over from Central Park. So it's easier access from the town if you walk in there. You won't have to snake your way around or under that bridge. It's a proper wide kind of, and it would be impressive as you're walking up there to see the ground and everything else in front of you. And putting a plaza there, and I did ask the question last night, I mean, would there be an opportunity to get more income from encouraging retailers to come there? So, you know, restaurants, bars, whatever else.
Well, I mean, if possible on Idea, World Idea, down at Canterbury, they have a cafe, an outside cafe there that actually looks in, you know, place right at, you know, in the building that actually looks outside on the ground.
Yeah.
And something like that, I think, and especially in the winter, would be nice to, so you can sort of see what's been going on or anything, you know.
That's right. And I think also having that, a proper access, you know, that bridge looks like it's quite wide. It could, you know, it reminded me a bit of Wembley Way, you know, when you're walking up.
Yeah.
But also, we'll talk about parking in a minute, but if they did a deal with the multi-storey, if you parked in the multi-storey, it's easy to get across from there.
Yes, it's location, and to be honest, a secure site as well. And the opening hours of it would cover, I believe, it cover floodlight games as well.
That's right.
So, yeah, it would be I think that would be a plus point as well.
So you mentioned about the buildings around the indoor school. So student accommodation one end and a hotel at the other. Now, the club are in talks with three very well-known hotel companies. I didn't mention who they were. But they would be a sort of a keystone investor in this whole project.
Yeah.
And it would be the case that Essex Cricket Club would retain ownership of the ground, the freehold, if you like, and the hotel company would basically take over the running and the cost of the hotel and contribute to the funding of the whole thing. There was a lot of talk about how the funding was going to be, but we'll go into that in a minute. But they were very clear about all of that. But the interesting thing, or the overriding thing about this part of the discussion, was that this new stadium will hold 10,500 people,
yes.
Which I reckon is about the right amount.
I think it's spot on. The minimum was 10,000 to get it up to what was required. 10,500, I think, is spot on. I believe that will cover the sort of demand for T20s.
Oh, you'll pack that out.
T20 tickets when they go, you know, people possibly, you know, miss out on getting them. That'll be an extra probably 3,000 there.
Yeah.
So and just falling with the hotel sort of student sort of thing. Another way, I think the away fans that come, hotels right on the doorstep. A similar thing was put up at Ipswich Town Football Club. Travelodge was there. The other thing, if students you know, they can do the job. There's jobs, possible catering jobs. They can do sort of short term to help them out. You know,
I think it's a clever thing because I'm sure that if you say, "Oh, we're going to build student accommodation," I'm sure you can get grants or subsidies from central government for that kind of thing. And as you say, it's a huge resource for casual work at the club.
And that's on their doorstep.
Yeah, right there. Waitresses, bar staff, whatever, stewards. So I like the sort of deep thinking that's gone on with all of this. I think, you know, it's really, really good. 10,500 is the right amount. You will get that easily on a T20 night.
Exactly. And we all know that it was not going to be 15, 20 feet into the part of the sky. No. It was never going to be anything like that.
No.
So 10.5, as I say, is spot on to cover what is required and to help us as well.
So you've got this new stand, which looks really great, going around from where the Premier Suite is to where the existing pavilion is. And then the Tom Pierce is being redeveloped on three levels. What they're doing in all of these stands is there's a bit like what you've got at Old Trafford. And now at the Oval, the sort of roof terraces where paying punters can go and stand and have a drink and watch the game.
No, that's excellent. I mean, this southwest stand, which will sit where the Premier Suite is, I believe in itself will be 3,500 capacity for that stand.
Yeah, that's right.
And roof terrace. I mean, I still like to sit. I mean, at the moment, obviously, it's just computer generated thing, presumably when the model comes out and we can then look a bit more and we can sort of put a bit more meat on the bones when it does sort of come out. But it's definitely very promising, yeah.
You're listening to Phoenix FM, this is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Mutu. In the studio, my guest is super fan Dan Hagger, and we are talking about the developments of the meeting at Essex last night, the members' forum. We'll have more in a minute, but let's just break and catch our breath with a bit of music. Now, I was watching some of the Pops the other night on BBC4. My Friday nights are very rock and roll. It's from 1981, and this was on, and I'd totally forgotten all about it. This is The Passions. I'm in love with a German film star.
Thank you.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Tune into the Sunday Sessions on Phoenix FM every Sunday morning, 10 till 12, with me, Kevlar. I'll be bringing you tracks from local artists. Most of those tracks are recorded down at our open mic, which takes place every Monday at 8pm at the Essex Arms in Brentwood, right next door to Brentwood Station. Come along and just watch, or if you're a singer or songwriter, come along and sing us a song.
Sing, sing, sing.
It's me, Michelle Ward. A prawn cocktail.
I love a prawn cocktail.
I'm always rambling. What is the mayor's chain called?
Chain.
In fact, I never stopped talking. And I rubbed, basically, all of the skin off the inside of my thigh. You can answer my question of the day.
Michelle.
I think men go through the menopause from about the ages of 18 to 65. And after that, they die. Fantastic guests and super music. What am I lacking in the diet? Humour, really?
Yes.
Weekdays, 10 till 1.
You're listening to 98 Not Out on Phoenix FM. Just got some breaking news coming in. Actually, we're talking here about Essex, and I've just received a message that Essex's fixture against Sussex Sharks becomes the first T20 in the country to sell out in 2024. So we were talking about how popular T20 cricket is at Essex. So there you go. And that will be a good game as well. So, yes, well done then. In the studio with me is my special guest tonight, Dan Hagger. We're talking about the events that went on at the Essex Members Forum last night. And we're talking about the ground redevelopment. Now, we've talked about all the plans, and it all looks fantastic from the artist impressions and the sort of video. We are long past the days of drawings on bits of paper, and there was a very impressive animation of what it would all look like. But the question is how to fund it. Now, those of you that have got good memories will remember that a similar thing was put forward back in the days of David East, probably nearly 20 years ago, about redeveloping the ground back then. Someone's put on social media, this is a rehash of David East. No, it's not. It's completely different. This has got direction. It's been thought out. And the funding, and with David East's plan, it was to sell, it was to construct three blocks of flats. The builders would pay for that, or the proceeds of that would pay for it. Obviously, it all went wrong, and the builders, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. This is completely different. And the board last night, which was, I'll repeat, was made up of Anu Mahindru, the chairman, Neil Faraday, the treasurer, Dan Feast, the co-CEO, and John Stevenson, the CEO, took the bull by the horns and addressed how it will be funded. Now, there are several ways that they can fund this project, assuming that they choose to stay at Chelmsford, but more of that in a second. So how are they going to fund this? Firstly, with the help of the local authority. Secondly, the ECB has an infrastructure fund, which they could possibly tap into. Debt is inevitable. It's just a fact of life. You can't take on projects like this and the sums of money involved without incurring and assuming certain levels of debt. Private investment is the other avenue of funding. Now, the overall scenario would be for Essex to remain as landowner. The hotel, Essex would remain freeholders, but the hotel company would be responsible for the operation and the costs of the hotel itself. They did state that we might not own everything outright. So remember, there's a lot going on here. There's the cricketing side of things, there's the hotel, the student accommodation, this plaza that we've talked about, which hopefully will attract lots of leisure facilities, bars, restaurants, etc., etc. Might get a decent cup of coffee. And the club is looking for a healthy return on the capital that they provide. So it all sounds really good. There is the equivalent plan for another ground. And as we said earlier, they haven't identified where that is going to be, but they are investigating it. And then they will come up with a plan. But I would suggest that that's going to mean as much, if not more, in terms of work and cost to establish a new ground.
Yeah, you've got to start, basically, you've got to start from scratch again.
That's it. And as I know from similar experiences at Billericay Cricket Club, the timeline, which we went into great depth about when we were being circled by developers, it's 7 years from breaking ground to bowling a ball. So the board will decide, once they've got these two plans in place, they will decide what to put in front of the members, and the members will be asked to vote for final consent. So they are doing this all the right way, so long as nobody starts mentioning Christmas tree lights.
Well, you know, I mean, that's an, you know, it could be a deal breaker, couldn't it? You know, Christmas tree
you
lights.
You better explain. That's a bit of an in-joke between me and Dan.
God,
at the AGM, when there was a lot of heavy subjects to be discussed, and when it went to the floor for questions, one of our esteemed members stood up and asked why the Christmas tree lights weren't being switched on.
Absolutely boggles the mind. You know, really does.
So one of the questions were invited from at the floor last night, and thank God this time there were sensible questions. And one of those was about how this would affect the club or the team in terms of playing. I should stress as well that under this new plan for Chelmsford, they cannot physically extend the playing area.
No.
Now, you can argue about that, but it's a fact of life. As we know, Chelmsford, you know, the county ground is restricted in terms of space. There's nowhere to go, but there's enough room.
Yeah.
So, can we carry on playing? The answer was a straight yes. They can keep playing. The build will be in phases, which won't disrupt any playing. And if anything was to start, was it the end of 2025 they were talking about?
Yes.
Starting
It will go summer. The board will sort of look at it in the summer of 25, and then it'll go to a members' vote in the autumn of that year as well.
Right, exactly. Personally, I hope that they go with this Chelmsford plan, because it is really good. And I'm not sure if it's on the Essex website as yet or not, but keep an eye out for it, because it does look really good. And I said earlier on that their roadmap has 2030 in sight, and we gave the reasons for that a bit earlier on. But 2030 is probably going to be a domestic World Cup.
Could well be, yes.
And it would be fantastic in a brand new ground to host a World Cup fixture. I've seen World Cup games at Chelmsford.
Yes, 99 World Cup. There was two games, group games. I believe that was Bangladesh, New Zealand, and South Africa, Zimbabwe, which was the one that Zimbabwe won against all the odds to knock England out of the 99 World
Cup. That's right. Well, you see, because I'm so much older than you, I was there in 1983 at Chelmsford watching Kapil Dev and India smashing Australia. And that was a very strong Australia. Well, it's always a strong Australian side, isn't it?
I've seen footage of Kapil Dev in 1990 when he stuck Eddie Hemmings into the into the building works, quite literally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, incredible scenes.
The follow-on as well, I believe.
So 2030 is hosting a World Cup game would be a fantastic achievement. It'd be the icing on the cake for the whole project, I think. So members are being invited to invest in all of this. Various ways, a couple of examples were given. Bonds, where you, I would guess that there'll be a varying maturities and varying dividends, but basically you loan the money, you loan the club money, and they will pay you a dividend or a yield on those bonds, and you'll get a return there. Or just something a lot more basic, but I think is very, very successful, and we've seen it at Lords, and as Dan was saying when the music was on, Ipswich Town have done this successfully as well. Buy a brick. So you can basically have
myself.
Yeah, exactly. Have a brick in the development with your name or whatever else on it, and a little message. That's a really popular thing and can raise a decent amount of money without trying too hard. So as we said, late 2025 is potential when they're envisaging starting work on all of this. Now, there were questions about the cost of all of this, but really, it's do or die, I think, from the way they were talking.
To be honest, Darren, I think it is. We desperately need new facilities. We need our ground redone. Chelmsford, I believe, is the best option. It has everything surrounding it as well, and I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a a hard slog a bit.
Mm.
But if the membership can pull together, like they did in 2020, in the COVID year, they pulled together and that sort of support, then I think that, like I say, that's what we need.
Yeah, and I think
so. It can be done,
Yeah, it can. It can. I just. Well, I don't worry. I do worry that certain parts of membership will miss the point with all of this.
Are these the militant ones?
There are some militant ones out there. But, it's not too hard a thing to explain to even the most disruptive of people that if you want Essex to survive, this has to be the road to go down. And this, it's not the 1970s or the 1980s. No. This is 2024 and the realities of this new world of cricket. Now, the shadow that hangs over all of this, and it was dealt with last night, is franchise cricket. Now, the question was asked, and we were told it's an ongoing conversation, generally. The ECB are talking about the future of the 100. I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No.
We know that there's a contract in place till 2028. Probably better to be part of the conversation than not, I would suggest. Yes, we shall see, but that's still a long way off. But I think more importantly is the case of having a fit-for-purpose facility to just sort of strengthen your case when you go and doing it. There was other stuff about membership, and I think adult membership is more or less the same year on year.
Yes. I'm a life member now, so but
join
the gang. I believe it is sort of roughly the same. If you take the early bird option, which is now obviously passed, but there's still definitely less than a cost of a football season ticket anyway.
Well, what was interesting is that there's been a huge increase in junior memberships, which is what we want to see. The whole, whether it's the 100, whether it's T20, whether it's Red Bull, whatever. The future is the youngsters.
Yeah.
And that is a really, really good thing to see, that there has been a big increase in junior membership. So well done to everyone at Essex on the membership side of things. Yep. I was going to say membership committee, but I'm not going to get involved.
I mean, the staff at Essex work so hard.
Yeah.
And, they do so much, behind the scenes and everything. And they really are a great, great bunch of people. The juniors you've only got to see after a floodlight T20, and the players are signing autographs and everything. Absolutely love it. And that's, we can get, they can do that. That one night might just get them hooked, into it, get them hooked.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I went there as a youngster. I'm sure you did as well. And it's get that hook, and that's
well. Personally, I went, when I first went, that was 20 years, so I'd have been about 21.
Right.
And it was only a thing just to come down in between football seasons, and it just literally, took
it
the bait.
It does get you, doesn't it? I'm sure everyone's listening. Everyone that's listening will be nodding away going, yep, I know what you mean. There were more questions about the 100. Clearly, the membership, aside from all of this ground development, there are worries about the 100 obliterating the county scene. And the earlier points were made where the talks are ongoing. John Stevenson was asked for the club's position at this current stage of things, and he said that they have significant reservations about the expansion of the 100, which I think is quite encouraging.
There was talk of having another Western franchise, wasn't there, about between Gloucestershire, Somerset, at one stage as well. Personally, the 100, it's here at the moment, and it doesn't look like it's going to be going away anytime soon. The 50 over comp, it at least gives us a pathway for our youngsters to get first team cricket.
That's right. And what we've got to remember, like it or not, and this is all a consequence of what happened in 2005, is that Sky are basically calling the tune.
Yep.
And, they are basically telling everyone, even, you talk about this ground development, the media centre that Essex are proposing is built around keeping Skye accommodated, happy.
I mean, basically with Skye now, they can literally go to these grounds and literally just plug in, and they've got everything infrastructurally set up. With us, it's a case of, you know, parking lorries in a car park, losing the car park, effectively wheeling out lots and lots of cable, and it's got to the stage where it's too much for them to come and do.
Yeah.
So they've basically
they used to love
avoided,
coming to us.
They're basically avoiding us.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Now, car parking, you've led me on. You're reading my mind tonight. there's a bit of a discussion going on about car parking at the moment. Yeah. Now, the Meteor Road car park is no longer free anymore.
It's not, no. The parking charges were suspended in 21. This year they've come back. It's £3 on the day, £2 pre-booked, and £30 for a 28-day season. But it's payment by card only.
Right.
I think if you sort of looked at it, that 28 days at a quid is near enough a quid a day anyway, which was what it was before they suspended the charges anyway.
And you know what? The club's got to earn money somehow.
And it could well even be that the council have lent on the club to say, look, you know, you keep having this for free.
Yeah.
You know, this can't keep going on.
I mean, councils need money as well. Exactly. So I don't have a big problem with that. The only slight concern I've got is, what if it's oversubscribed? What if you go on there and you buy your ticket and let's say you get 5,000 people buy season tickets and there are only 3,000 places?
You might have to get some white paint, plenty of white paint, I think. or even tarmac, you know what I mean? But, well, it will be, I think it will be first come, the early bird will catch a worm, won't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Always been my sort of thing, so...
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Hurtling towards the top of the hour, John Chubb is here at 7 o'clock. My good mate John Chubb. Love his show, the non-league hour, 7 till 8 and 8 o'clock. Gareth Williams, Mr. Smoothie himself, is here with Bumper to Bumper. 10 till midnight, Madeline Christie with The Night Shift, which is another great show. Country music, old and new. And even if you don't like country music, give it a listen because you might just surprise yourself with some of the stuff she plays. We've got 5 minutes left. I just want to fit in some news from the counties. We're focusing on the counties tonight. There's no point talking about England. It's been done to death. Middlesex, this is interesting. Middlesex has posted a profit after tax for the financial year of £131,000. The club had posted successive losses since 2016, so it's quite a turnaround after an overhaul of the club's financial structure. Now, the audited accounts will be presented to members at the club's AGM in April. That's very interesting in my book.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, perhaps, not say you're better than me at accountancy and things like that, but have Middlesex literally stripped everything off the bone to do that. But they've also found a way of pinching Derbyshire's captain for 3 years.
They have.
But, yeah, I mean, thing is, you don't want to see a county go bust and go because it's cutting people's nose off to spite their face.
Yeah.
Enjoy cricket.
Now, other news. Derbyshire have signed Kiwi fast bowler Blair Tickner for the start of their 2024 season. He will be available for 9 of Derbyshire's County Championship games and 8 of the Blast. Aussie wicketkeeper batter Ben McDermott will return to Hampshire for the 2024 T20 Blast. He scored 901 runs in his 32 appearances for Hampshire, making 9 half centuries. Owen Morgan has been appointed the new president of the PCA. Now, talking of the PCA, on a Friday, the 19th of July, the England Masters return to the old county ground at Brentwood. Great day out, and you get to meet some proper legends of the England game. And all happy to take selfies and sign autographs and all the rest of it. You can even buy them a beer. Friday the 19th of July. For full details, go to the Brentwood website or you can email them events@brentwoodcricketclub.co.uk. Well, that's it. We've managed to whittle through another hour in no time at all. My notes are a waste of time because I've not even touched them. My thanks to Dan Hagger for joining me in the studio. Great as
thank
always,
Dan.
Thank you for coming down, and we'll get you back very, very soon. Playing us out tonight, Mr. Mark Butcher, the one and only. This is new music from him. This is called Cold Eyes, Cold Heart. John Chubb is up next.